This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket imports domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up now for a big weekend. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and part of that big weekend, Ravens and Steelers. Pleased to be joined by Bo Smolka, who covers the Ravens. Bo, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hi, good talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it should be pointed out, Eric DaCosta, just so you know, his daughter is in my class. So.
Oh, that's right. She's up at Penn State. That's right.
And she's a terrific student. I mean, really good. All right, so... let's start with this. The Kyle Hamilton situation. Where, to your knowledge, does it stand right now with him? Because I think he's one of the top 15 defenders in the league.
Oh, I agree with that. I just got off the practice field. He's out there today, which honestly surprised me a little bit. But he is a tough dude. Mm-hmm. I think he's the kind of guy that's going to want to play. And you're going to have to kind of tie him down to keep him from playing. I you know, a week ago, I didn't think he was going to play this Sunday. Seeing him out here now, and we're not allowed to watch all of practice, but right. The fact that he's out there trying tells me he's going to give it a go. I suspect the Ravens will call him questionable. I think he'll be listed as limited on the injury report. I think he'll be questionable for the game. I think they're going to try to have him out there to some extent. He's probably not going to be 100%, but I think 70% Kyle Hamilton's better than some of the other options. So if I'm the Ravens, I'm encouraged by seeing him out there today. He won't be 100%, I don't think, but that's the latest.
All right, so Kyle Hamilton is a player. When you're 6'2", or excuse me, I think he's 6'4", 6'4", have some speed, you can play him deep, you can play him in the box, and he knows how to play the game. He's not just an athlete running around out there. He can play. You see him all the time, Bo. How special is this guy?
I think he's terrific. And, you know, I know people talk about playing him deep. I've thought for 2 years now, I think they're a much better team when he plays near the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
They'll use him as like a dime linebacker. They'll play him as a slot defender. He is extremely good at doing things like diagnosing and breaking up these bubble screens and these jet sweeps, because he'll break a tackle or he'll get off a block. You try to block him in the line of scrimmage, it doesn't work, and then he's a very physical tackler. So time and again, you see these bubble screens set up to the outside, and he breaks his block and just blows up the play. I just think they're a better team with him playing near the line of scrimmage. He's also a rangy defender. Like you said, he's 6'4", and he can cover. They use him all over the field. But in my mind, they're better when he plays near the line of scrimmage. He's a terrific talent.
Right. No, I agree. How have you felt about the Ravens' pass rush to this point of the season, Bo?
Well, it's been fair. I mean, everything about this defense has been fair at best.
Which is a surprise.
The pass defense has been a mess all year. The pass rush at times has looked okay, and at times it's kind of not gotten home. And if they're not getting there, and these quarterbacks are having time against this secondary, that's a problem. The edge rusher guys have been okay at times. Kyle Van Noy flashed right a lot early in the year. He's kind of fallen off lately. Your guy Adafe Owe has had his moments, and then he's not there sometimes. It's been inconsistent from that group. In the interior, you got Nnamdi Matabike, who is a really good interior defensive line pass rusher, and he had 3 sacks against Cincinnati. He had a big impact on that game. They've got another interior guy named Travis Jones, who's just like an absolute bulldozer inside. He's good against the run, but he's good pressing the pocket as well. I think those two interior guys can be a big factor in the pass rush. The traditional edge rush guys, like I said, they've been inconsistent.
Okay, let me ask you about Roquan Smith. It's a huge acquisition when they got him, right? How's he played? Has he been all right? Has he been good? Has he been not quite as expected? Your thoughts?
Last year, I thought he was better than they could have expected. I think he was terrific last year. I think he's regressed a little bit this year. He doesn't seem as active to the ball. I don't know what it is. He seems a touch slower to me, and I think others have agreed with that. I'll say this. He's still a very physical player. To my mind, more often this year, I have seen him kind of on his feet standing at the end of the play when there's a pile on the ground than actually in the pile where he always used to be. I don't know if he's getting pushed by blockers better than he was last year. He has been less of a player this year than last year. He was great. When they traded for him, he was everything they could have hoped he would be. And so it just turned out to look like a great midseason trade for the Ravens 2 years ago. He was consistently strong player last year. I haven't seen quite that from him this year. I think he's taken a step back.
Okay, so I'll balance this. I'll get to Lamar and the offense in a moment. But now let's balance this out. They have to face a Russell Wilson quarterbacked Steeler team. How different are they because Wilson is now the quarterback, and what problems can that present for the Ravens?
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting because I haven't seen a lot of the Steelers. I watched their game with Washington last week, and I mean, he's obviously a talented guy. The Ravens are saying all the right things about him. He will probably he'll take his deep shots, and the Ravens better cover. And if you saw anything with the Bengals, they did not cover Ja'Marr Chase deep at all in that game. So they better cover, and they better tackle when those guys catch the ball deep. To me, the interesting thing is when I look at these kind of charts that show where Russell Wilson has thrown the ball, he hasn't thrown a lot over the middle of the field.
No.
And the middle of the field has killed the Ravens this year. Middle linebacker depth and at the safety depth, they have just gotten killed in the middle of the field. And John Harbaugh said as much. He said fixing that is their number one priority. I think it's going to be fascinating to see if the Steelers dial up some ways to exploit that, whether that's Freiermuth, whether it's pass patterns with the receivers. Okay. The Ravens have been a mess in the middle of the field this year. So you've got to cover deep, obviously. You've got to keep your eye on Pickens, and you can't let him get behind you or get open in the middle. But I think the middle of the field is where the Ravens have really, really suffered this year. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Steelers try to attack it that way, which is, from what I can tell, not exactly what they've done.
All right, so now on offense, Derrick Henry, has he been what you thought he would be?
He's been everything I think they thought he would be. I'll say this. I've covered this team for 15 years now, and, I mean, I'm around these guys a lot. He is the most physically imposing, impressive human being I think I've ever seen. I mean, he's an absolute physical freak. Yeah. He's like 260 pounds with like 0.00 body fat and runs. So he's incredible. And the thing about him, at his age, everyone thought he was going to be wearing down, and he just hasn't shown it. He's still, I think he's a great fit for this offense. Eric DaCosta actually tried to trade for him at the deadline last year, and they never pulled it off. They signed him this offseason, and the question was, look, they looked at his stats the last couple of years and said, well, his yards per carry is going down. He's 30 years old. He's had so many carries. He's going to hit that wall. And he might sometime, but he hasn't yet. And he has been everything they could have hoped for this offense. I think his game has improved or has taken a kick up because he's playing with Lamar Jackson, and teams aren't keen on him as a one-back guy in this backfield because you have to worry about Lamar Jackson running. He's got a Pro Bowl fullback blocking in front of him and Patrick Ricard. And the thing that he's done his whole career is he just gets stronger as the game goes on. And that comes back to his conditioning, I think. But you see these games where you unleash him in the fourth quarter when the defense is on the field for 68 snaps already, and that's when he pops the 55-yard run. He did it against Cincinnati in the game they won in overtime at Cincinnati. He's done it in three or four different games. So he's been, for what they want to do on offense, and with Lamar Jackson as this running threat at quarterback, and the way that they like to win on the ground, he's been everything they could have hoped for.
Zay Flowers. Look, there are some young players that could have gone through the AFC Championship game like he did last year, and it would have affected them for a while. What does it tell us about Zay Flowers that he's had the kind of season he's had to this point?
Yeah, he made that fumble at the goal line is the one you're referencing in the game against the Chiefs. And I mean, everyone here has said from the time they drafted him, the guy's got a good head on his shoulders, and he is who he is. I don't think they ever worried about that. And to your point, it hasn't happened. He's the same guy. And to stay, he's a really dangerous receiver. He's really shifty. He'll catch a 6-yard pass and make 6 people miss and turn into a 35-yard touchdown. He can do that. He and Lamar Jackson have this kind of thing going. They're very much in sync together. So he's been very consistent. We were joking, not joking really, we were observing that in that game at Pittsburgh last year when the Ravens dropped so many passes and lost the game, right. Flowers was one of them. He dropped a couple open balls in that game. One of them he tripped in on the turf and was wide open and couldn't handle it. So they all had a kind of a rough day that day in Pittsburgh last year, but Flowers is terrific that way. He'll catch the short one and make defenders miss. Very, very difficult to get down after the catch. But in terms of kind of bouncing back from that end zone fumble in the AFC Championship game, I don't think the team ever had any worry about him doing that. And he said he was going to turn a page on it. We talked to him the next day, and he has. And he's that kind of player. He's a huge part of what they want to do on offense.
Yeah, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And you know what? He's doing it. I mean, that's you know, to me, it's always the proof is in the pudding. Everybody always says they're going to turn the page. No, I can put
fair.
It.
That's totally fair, and he has.
And that's where I give him all the credit in the world. He's like, yeah, I'm going to turn the page. Okay. And, well, we're more than halfway through this season. The guy is a terrific, terrific receiver. What has Mark Andrews' presence meant? Because, look, his presence wasn't there all last year. What's it meant this year?
Well, it wasn't there the first part of this year either, and that's right. What people were surprised about. The first right. 4 or 5 games, he was kind of a non-factor, and right. Everyone's going, what's wrong with Andrews? What's wrong with Andrews? I don't know if he was still fully back from the injury at the beginning of the year, and I don't know if you guys heard around here, but he was involved in this kind of scary auto crash yeah. during training camp
yep.
On the way to the facility one day, and he was fine. They said he walked away from it, and everything was fine, but that might have affected him, too. He might have been more physically banged up by that than they let on early. I don't know. But he was not a factor early in the year. But he is also the guy that Lamar Jackson trusts. Zay Flowers has moved up there, but Mark Andrews is a guy that Lamar Jackson implicitly trusts. They came into the league together as rookies. They've been 1 and 1A together in the passing game their whole time here. And when they need a big play, Andrews is often the guy he looks for. Having said that, Isaiah Likely has turned into this really good pass-receiving tight end as well, and that makes them harder to defend. But Andrews is always, always a guy that on like 3rd and 5, that's a guy that Jackson's going to be looking for.
Is this the longest you've ever gone in an interview without being asked about Lamar?
Yeah, probably, to be honest with you. But you got to work your way there, I guess.
And I am working my way there because you know what? And there's a reason for that. I wanted to get a lot of other people in there that have been important to the Ravens' success, then get to him last, because that way people hear about the success of the others first. That's why I'll do these things in patterns like that. And that's mm-hmm. now we get to him. You've seen the spectacular from him over and over again. Is this just a continuation of the spectacular, or is there some things that he's doing now that's even better than what you've seen the last 3-4 years?
I mean, the thing with him is, as you said, I mean, any single play can turn into the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. And we've seen it a lot. I mean, the game the other night against Cincinnati, where he's back at the 30-yard line, the first game at Cincinnati. He's going to be sacked at the 30. He stiff arms a defensive lineman, wiggles away, and throws a touchdown. He shouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
And the other one, he down the sideline and almost scores. It's just so fun with him that way. I'll say the two things. One thing that's really improved from him, I think, is the decision making. And he's only thrown 2 interceptions this year, 24 touchdowns, right. Just 2 interceptions. And both interceptions actually went off the hands of his receiver and probably shouldn't have been interceptions. He's done a better job of not forcing a throw. He's done a better job of unloading the ball, and meaning getting it out of bounds and not trying to make a hero play when there's not one there to be had. So that taking care of the ball is a huge part of it. That's one reason why his passer rating is the best in the league right now, because he's not turning the ball over. He's still a very dangerous runner. He's connecting better on the deep ball than he had in the past. He still doesn't throw a ton of them, but he's throwing it better. He's using more of the field better than he has in the past. He's handling the blitzes better, and that goes also back to making good decisions. So it's probably all related. He's also in his sixth or seventh year, and he said before it feels more mature for him now. It feels different. It feels slower. Everything looks, I want to say easy, but he diagnoses it better. It's just everything about it, being a seventh year versus a first, second year, trying to do too much. But I think the decision-making and avoiding turnovers and just making the right kind of read and the right decision in the moment has been a big part of it. And he's got good players. I mean, you mentioned Zay Flowers has been a really good player. Andrews and Isaiah Likely are two really good tight ends. And now he's got Derrick Henry that also keeps defenses honest. Because let's face it, if you have Derrick Henry in the backfield, and your play action game changes completely, because those safeties and linebackers, they have to be ready for Derrick Henry running the ball. And if you can sell that just half a second that Henry's going to be running the ball, here comes the linebackers toward the line of scrimmage, and oh, there you go, Rashad Bateman is wide open over the middle where the linebacker used to be. And not only that, but this year Jackson is hitting that guy in stride, right, and he's getting yardage after the catch instead of a ball that maybe is thrown behind him a little bit and disruptive. So that's the other thing. He's making the right passes to the right spot after the right decision. And I'm not saying he'll do that Sunday, because the Steelers defense has bothered him, but he's done that consistently this year.
This is where I give him a lot of credit, because I give him a lot of credit for a lot of things. But they asked him about the Steeler issues over the years, and he says, I don't know. Well, that's a really honest answer. Like, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can think of, Bo, is because they play them all the time. See, against the end, well, they have one loss against an NFC team since he's been there.
That's right. He's 23-1 right. in his career against the NFC.
That was the Giants game where Saquon did the hook slide at the 3-yard line to close it out. But they don't. They only see him once every 4 years. So how do you get ready for somebody you don't really know? The Steelers at least know him, because I think with him, as crazy as it sounds, the way he moves, but if you can take the right angles on him, you can play him. And somehow the Steelers, I think, have figured out, quote, what angles to take against him and when to get him to throw it instead of run it. That's the only guess, and it's a guess on my part as to why.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because he's missed several games against the Steelers for whatever reason. He's only started four of them, and he's missed a couple for injury. The 1 year he was hurt, and missed both of them at the end of the year. He missed the 1 year when he had the COVID, and we played the game there on a Wednesday in December with all the replacement players. He missed one when they held him out for the playoffs in the last game of the season. So he's only started four games against them. I wrote this up earlier this week. He's 1-3 against them. The only other team he's got a worse record for again is against the Chiefs. And his passer rating against the Steelers is worse than any team. So what's happening? Well, he's thrown some interceptions. Spillane picked them off on a pick six here a few years ago in one of the first plays of the game. And the pressure. The Steelers have sacked him 20 times in those four games. One of them has sacked him 7 times. So that's disrupted their offense. I think the pass rush, the pressure has been a consistent factor, obviously, for Pittsburgh, and Jackson and the passing game just hasn't handled it really well. A lot of teams don't, and that's been one of the things that's been a big factor, I think, in his play against Pittsburgh. And then last year, like I said, they just dropped balls. They just dropped passes. Andrews and Bateman dropped touchdowns on back-to-back plays. Yeah. Aguilar had a ball go through his hands. It was just one of those weird days. And you might remember the game a few years ago. The Ravens had a chance to win. Harbaugh goes for two, and Andrews passed the two-point conversion to Andrews is incomplete at the goal line. Right. But I think the pressure has been one of the biggest things. I think that Steelers' pressure has really been able to disrupt him. But again, he's only started four of the games against him, which is interesting.
Bo, terrific. Really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for the time, the analysis, the insight.
All right, you bet. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Bo Smolka joining us on the show today, brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.